The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sonata Software Limited Q2 FY24-25 Investor Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the management from Sonata Software Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. This is Samir Dhir from Sonata Software, and I have the management team along with me on this call. We all welcome you to this conference Today we will share our strategy, the progress we have made in the recent quarters, our strategic plan, and the financial results for the quarter Q2 FY25 that ended on September 30th, 2024. I thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your valuable time and support. It is my pleasure to share our progress regarding our vision and growth for Sonata, despite the macroeconomic challenges and geopolitical issues which are resulting in a slowdown in tech spending across some of our verticals. I'll update you on our strategic goals, and post that we will discuss our progress in Q2 FY25. So let's talk about our goals and strategy first. As you know, our objective is to be one of the fastest growing modernization engineering firms powered by a unique platformation framework. We aim to achieve revenue of $1.5 billion by the end of FY27 for the international business at an EBITDA of low 20s. From a growth point of view, we outlined a few critical bets. Number one, we will continue to win large deals, multiple large deals, building on a successful track record. If you recall, in H1 of this fiscal year, we closed 6 large deals. We will deepen and diversify our partnerships with AWS and other partners and continue to win new logos working alongside with them and really create the next 10 million, 25 million, 50 million, $100 million clients for Sonata through that channel. Third, continue to scale the business through deeper capabilities, build out on delivering M&As, and diversify our client base by successfully integrating them. And we want to achieve these goals in our four focus verticals, which is healthcare life sciences, banking financial services, retail manufacturing distribution, and technology media and telecom. And in the 5 geographies, which are North America, UK, Europe, India, and Australia. Leveraging our differentiated lightning tools, IP, and offerings, we are steadfast in our pursuit of our $1.5 billion goal, assuring our clients of a commitment to their modernization needs. With that, let me provide you an update on the large deals first. Our large deal pursuits are a significant part of our strategy, with 49% of our active pipeline dedicated to these high-value opportunities across all our verticals. 36% of our large deal pipeline are with Fortune 500 clients. I'm delighted to share 3 significant wins we had in Q2 with all of you. The first one is with one of the top financial corporations in the U.S. Sonata has been chosen as a strategic partner to deliver its data modernization program, including migration from Netezza to Snowflake. This is a key multi-year data and cloud modernization program for this large U.S. bank, which is in the top 10 of the U.S. banks. The second large deal is with a U.S. technology giant. Sonata will enable an optimum global delivery model to deliver on AI, cloud, and data services from our global delivery centers, including in India, Mexico, and Malaysia. We are absolutely thrilled about this win. The third win is with a client who is a leader in a personal facility and food safety systems. Sonata will be a strategic partner for designing, building, managing and continuously modernizing their consumer-facing automation platform using a combination of Microsoft, Android, and iOS technologies. Apart from these 3 wins, we also had 2 strategic mid-sized deals. I'm happy to share a summary of them. While they are mid-sized deals, but they're also net new logos for Sonata. The first one is our client is an Australia-based wholesaler. We have been awarded a multi-year data modernization program as a strategic partner. And to note, this is our largest TCP-based Microsoft Fabric win in the data transformation space to date. We're very excited about this one. And the second mid-sized deal is for our client which is a leading food service company in the U.S. Sonata has been awarded their multi-year ERP modernization and integration program. This is the second logo we closed in the quarter, which is also a mid-sized deal. We're excited that our differentiated capabilities are now helping us win new logos along with mid-sized deals. With that, let me provide you an update on AI, which is our strategic bet. If you recall, we have talked about the fact that 20% of our revenue will come from AI-enabled services by end of CY27. We have now 67 million of our pipeline across 110 customers and are very excited about the new wins that we have won in the quarter. Happy to share with you, we closed a very large pharma customer as a net new client using our GenAI capabilities in the course of the quarter. In addition, we exceeded our order booking AI in the quarter compared to Q1 quarter. We are enabling our clients to leverage AI in three ways. Number one, driving efficiencies for them. Number two, driving higher consumer experience and modernizing their sales platforms. And number three, driving innovative business models for them for better outreach for a larger number of consumers to increase their revenues. For one of the healthcare clients, we're harnessing the power of AI to ensure comprehensive and representative demographic coverage in clinical trials. Our clients aim to eliminate bias from the sample of people covered during clinical trials. We're using AI to ensure regulatory compliance for the customer. Our Harbinger.ai infrastructure is critical to our recent deal wins and subsequent AI model implementations. By leveraging Harmony.ai across multiple clients, we enable GenAI-driven engineering scale and test acceleration. Our teams are truly at the forefront of this technology revolution. With some of the healthcare, life sciences, and banking customers, we're making significant progress in implementing GenAI using small language models for cost efficiency, which also results in fine-tuning of their cloud spend, and we're also implementing agentic AI approach in these clients. We have invested in AI cross-functional org led by Sharmila Sharikar to drive AI across Sonata and partner with technology, delivery, sales to accelerate our GTM efforts across our partnership, research, and continuous strategy refinement in GenAI. Approximately 83% of our engineers are now GenAI trained, which is a significant increase from 67% that we shared with you last quarter. This improvement demonstrates our unwavering commitment to upskilling and the immense potential AI has across our operations and our customer operations. With that, let me provide you an update on the scale that we are building. For our investment verticals, which are healthcare, life sciences, and banking, they now contribute 32% of our revenue, which is up from 13% 10 quarters back. Let that sink in. HLS and BFSI now contribute 32% of revenue, which was about 13% 10 quarters back. So our strategy to invest in these verticals has really paid dividends quite significantly for our in our growth journey. These verticals added nearly 18% of our client revenue, which did not exist 2.5 years back. We expect our invest verticals of healthcare and life sciences and banking to reach together about 250 million revenue in 3 to 5 years from now. We are very excited about the growth that we are seeing in front of us in these two verticals. The following key bits are helping us scale our offerings in the modernization stack. Number one, on the cloud and data, we have continued to progress in the cloud and data pipeline, which is now 51% of our overall pipeline. To remind you, this pipeline was about 15% of our pipeline about 2.5 years back, has now jumped to 51% of our pipeline. We're seeing an increased demand for our data-driven deals. This has now grown more than 120% over the previous year. So we had 120% increase in our order book in data-driven deals Y on Y. Our revenue from data modernization has grown up from 13% to 23% in the last 10 quarters. Very excited about the progress our teams are making in our growth journey from a data modernization perspective. Number two, Microsoft Fabric, which is a strategic bet we made working with Sonata, and we are a featured and launch partner for Microsoft Fabric from a Microsoft perspective, which is a data analytics platform for the era of AI, and went to GA in November 23. Since its launch, we have witnessed a significant pipeline build of our Fabric, which is now 91 billion pipeline across 110 clients of Sonata. We're very excited again with the Fabric progress we're making on the Fabric platform, working alongside with our partners. Microsoft Dynamics, which has been the core pillar of our growth for many, many years. In Q2 FY25, we won one large deal with a telecom, with a high-tech customer, and one mid-sized deal with a retailer. During the quarter, we witnessed continuous modernization success, and we're now seeing green shoots in the CE space, Dynamics CE space, to take out the competing SaaS platforms and the Power Platform space to take out competing RPA platforms for our customers. We are very excited again on our growth in Dynamics, CE and Power Platform combined. Our Settle business continues to deliver solid performance quarter on quarter, and in this quarter delivered an ROCE of 78.4% in Q2. On a normalized basis, it will be 45.2%, but we had some exceptional item in the quarter, so we got 78.4 ROCE in the quarter. Now coming to the awards, we were recognized as a major contender by Everest Group for our low-code application development area, and we were recognized by HFS as the fastest sixth service provider from a growth point of view in Q2 over FY24. Very excited about our progress in our capability build and the fact that we are the fastest sixth growing company in the market today. Update on talent. Sonata University has been at the forefront of our capability build initiatives, and it saw increased usage of an acquisition of new skills such as GenAI. Our active headcount in the quarter increased to 6,900 people, which is compared to 6,619 a quarter before. So we added about 250 people net in the quarter. The last 12 month attrition was at 13%, and our gender diversity is at 31%. We continue to make good progress on our gender diversity initiatives. In the course of the quarter, we also implemented salary increase for our junior management effective July. We are planning to implement another increase for our mid and senior management effective Q3. In addition to that, we continue, even in these times, on our campus hiring programs, and we onboarded 150 campus grads during the course of the quarter. Goes on to show that we are continuing to build our scale in the current environment as well. With that, let me provide you an update on the Q2 FY25 performance. The key outcomes for the Q2 FY25, despite the industry headwinds, for the international business, our revenue grew 2.3% quarter on quarter, much in line with our forecast that we gave at the beginning of the year of 1-3% growth. We came in at 2.3%. We had a very strong order booking of 1.23 book-to-bill for the international business. In Q2 FY25, we won 3 large deals and 6 mid-sized deals. We now have, and this is a very noticeable achievement, we now have 8 clients which do more than 10 million revenue on a run rate basis annually for Sonata now. That number was about 4 less than 2 years back. Our EBITDA remained at 18.2 in Q2. Our utilization remained steady at 87%. For the Settle business, the domestic business, our gross contribution in the business grew 2.5%.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect the management back. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the line for the management reconnected. Yes, so please go ahead.
Apologies for the snafu. I just want to conclude. I want to take this moment to thank all our Sonatians globally for their commitment, hard work, and the quality of outcomes they deliver to our clients day in and out. We're very proud of our team members. Thank you to Team Sonata. With that, let me turn it to Jagan for his comments on our financial performance. Jagan?
Yes. Thank you, Samir, for the overview. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening all. Let me start the update on international business services for Q2 2025. In international services, the dollar revenue grew. Revenue was $84.6 million, with quarter-on-quarter it grew by 2.3% and year-on-year by 4.6%. In rupee terms, the revenue stood at 707.9 crore, which was 2.9% quarter-on-quarter growth and year-on-year 5.7%. In constant currency terms, revenue grew by 1.5% quarter-on-quarter and 3.7% year-on-year. Now the comment about the profitability in international business, the EBITDA before forex and other income stood at 18.2% against 18.7% in Q1 2025. The major reason for this was a salary increase given during this quarter had impacted by about 1.1%. However, we were able to compensate that through the savings in operational improvement and also SG&A leverage what we got during this quarter. Hence, our EBITDA came back, dropped only by 50 bps in this quarter. The PAT for international business stands at 62.2 crores We had a 4.4% degrowth and quarter on quarter from the last quarter. And international services, the Q2 ROC stood at 20.3%, Q1 was the 18%, and Q2 ROA and W stood at 23.5% compared to 21.6%. Now the update about the domestic business. Gross contribution in Q2 stands at 70.2 crores, grew by 2.5% quarter on quarter, 12.4% year on year. PAT for domestic business in Q2 was 44.3 crores, grew by 9.5% quarter on quarter and 9.5% year on year. The DSO for domestic business stood at 35 days, same as last quarter. The ROC in domestic business is 45.2% compared to 44.6% last quarter. The reported ROC was much higher due to one-time changes impact that happened during this quarter. The ROC, the DSO of the international business continued to stand at 45 days. About comment about the consolidated business, PAT for consolidated business stood at 106.5 crores, growth of 0.8% quarter on quarter and 14.3% degrew by year on year. The consolidated EPS for the quarter stood at 3.84 per share compared to 3.81 per share last quarter. At console level, quarter on quarter 2/25, ROC stood at 24.7% and RONW stood at 28.4%. Now the comment about the cash flow. This quarter, there were major movements on the cash payout. The first one was run out paid to Quant. The second payment to Quant in this after the acquisition, this was about 116 crores was paid on this. Encore, we paid the third year and final earnout payment of 59.4 crores. We have also paid the incentive and on the increments for the employees during this quarter. We paid the loan to the extent of 48.9 crores during this quarter. We also had the final dividend payout for the shareholders in this quarter. The benefit for us was we had a decent amount of IT refund coming for us, which against the old assessment what was pending for us. Moving to some important operating metrics, the total headcount moved from 6,619 in quarter 1 to 6,908 in quarter 2, net headcount addition of 289. Utilization of Q2 stood at 87% compared to same level of Q1 25. We have added 8 new customers in Q2. Top 10 clients contributed revenue share of 63% compared to 50% last quarter. Number of clients more than 3 million run rate in Q2 is 22 customers compared to 21 last quarter. The vertical mix for Q2 is as follows. TMT is 32%, retail manufacturer is 31%, HLS is 10%, BFS is 22% and emerging is 5%. Revenue by top go-to-market was data became 23%, Dynamics is 23% and cloud is 41%. The Q2 order booking stood at 104 million, which is 1.2x of the international service center. This is the book-to-bill. Our international services continue to have a good cash collection of about $86.7 million in this quarter. In summary, we continue to remain optimistic about the long-term growth prospects, and thank you all for attending this call. With this, I hand over the call to the moderator for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from Rakesh Agarwal from Rakesh Mangal & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, what is the reason for degrowth in domestic business? This is 21% reduction. Quarter one is 1849 crore, whereas quarter two is 1461 crore.
Yes. We have always mentioned to you that domestic business, you have to not see that turnover. We should always consider the gross contribution. Gross contribution has actually grown from 68.5 crores to 70.2 crores this quarter. The turnover depends on the contract what we sign and contract what we close. Some of these contracts may be large, some contracts may be less. So please don't see the revenue or turnover of this business. Just see, measure it only about on the absolute amount of gross contribution.
Okay, but sir, please, I don't follow it. Can you throw some light on why, even if the revenue had been dropped, how this gross contribution has been increased?
No, that's what. It depends upon what is the kind of deals we have. In this quarter, we have a couple of deals where the gross contribution percentage was better for us. Average, we run between 3.9 to 4.1% of the gross contribution as a percentage of revenue. But some of these deals, we had a higher gross contribution in this quarter. Hence, the gross contribution amount grew, but turnover need not grow for that.
Okay.
This business will have a bumpy ride in terms of turnover.
Got it. And what is the revenue impact of these major three deals we have entered or finalized this quarter, and international three deals and two deals? What is the revenue impact?
No, these deals are large deals for us, and definitely this will have, these are all deals, or normally all the large deals are between 3 to 5 years time frame. So with the large deals coming in, we will have good impact on the revenue growth in the coming quarter, but may not be immediately. All large deals will take a little time of transition, because most of the deals have transition impact also. Once the transition is done, the revenue will become a normalized mode on the revenue transfer. We cannot particularly give about a particular contract. We don't disclose that, but will have a positive impact on our revenue growth.
Thanks, sir. But when we are expecting this will impact our revenue? What from which quarter?
No, I have mentioned, it depends on each of this contract and what is the tenure of the contract, what is the complexity of the deal and all this thing. So on a very, very large deal, I'll know mega deals, we generally give how much impact will happen and which quarter the flow will happen, normalized the revenue flow will happen. These are all large deals, regular large deals. There will be more and more large deals, always we win 3 to 4 deals every quarter. Hence, I cannot specifically tell about how much impact this will happen. This will continue a process of winning the large deals, and it will continue to help us to grow the revenue quarter on quarter.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Sameer, largely wanted to understand, the deal pipeline overall, which has been there quite good, cloud data pipeline, or even on the MS Fabric and Dynamics side, the build-up has been quite strong. You mentioned 51% of our pipeline is now cloud and data versus 15% which was there 2-3 years back. But how should we see this particular part of the business translating into revenue growth? Should we see, the historical growth rate that we used to have, 3-5% kind of growth, which was like one of the top quartile growths upon the industry? Should we see that growth coming back, given the deal which have happened in the pipeline which you said? That was my first question.
Sure. Do you want to answer this first, or do you want to complete all your questions?
I'm okay with anything.
Okay, so let's answer this first. So there are two things happening in the market, Mihir. So these deals that we are winning are helping us incrementally take our revenue up. If you recall, we had said when we had a degrowth quarter in Q4 that first half of the year will see 1-3% growth, and the second half will be better than the first half. I think these deals are all adding up to us to deliver a better second half of the fiscal year compared to what we had in the first half of the year. So that's point number one. Point number two, as you know, there are headwinds in the market right now, especially in the retail in manufacturing side, because that's about 30% of the business which is under pressure because of the industry headwinds. So these deals are actually in some ways offsetting the pressure that is getting created. Have Sonata deliver higher than industry, average industry growth rates that we're talking about. So that's a two-way to think about it. Our second half will be better than the first half comparatively. And second, it's also offsetting us to take the headwinds from the retail and the manufacturing sector and offset that, that downswing.
Sure. And on this deal side, how should we see these deals from a margins perspective? Given the fact that this, I think, would be more in the discretionary side. Of the data cloud and everything. So how should we see the margins from there?
So if you think of the mid-size deals, they are at par with our standard margins of the company. They are overall at par, and they will start at par and they will stay at par. Then some of the large deals, while their overall margin profile in the term of 3 or 5 years will be at par with the company, for the first few quarters there might be some impact because we are ramping up, etc. But in general, there's not any negative headwind expected from any of these large deals. The one that we announced in May-June timeframe had an impact, and we told you guys that will have an impact in Q2, Q3, and Q4, but that's already baked into our numbers right now. These deals we don't expect to have any significant impact even in the short run. They will probably be at par or slightly accretive.
So, my second question was on the finance cost. I mean, there has been a very good bifurcation of the finance cost in the presentation this time. So I think if you can get an understanding as to how should one see each of these components of the finance cost for the balance part of the year. Because I believe the unwinding, we were expecting that unwinding to come down and even the interest on acquisition loan to come down. So how should we see these three components for the balance part of the year?
So this unwinding has already come down. If you see in the investor deck in slide number 24, we have given it. How much is the unwinding has come down compared to Q1 and last year, what was the Q2 number? What is the Q2 number? It has come down already. And the unwinding will get next year when the next payment happens, it will be fully closed. It will fully disappear there. Interest cost on acquisition, what we have is SOFR plus what we have taken the margin from the bank. So far this quarterly reset, hence it will come down from next quarter by 50%. Once it starts coming in, our interest cost also will start coming down.
Okay, so I mean, when are we going to repay the loan which we have taken for acquisition? What is the exact challenge that we are facing with it?
The loan what we have taken till now will be repaid by financial year 27.
Okay. I guess 10 crores, should we be in 5 crores from next quarter on loan, or what do you see that?
It is already there. You are talking about interest cost, right?
Interest on acquisition loan.
Interest on acquisition loan is not 5 crores. It is interest on deferred consideration that has come down by 5 crores from Q1 to Q2. Q4 to Q1. Q1 and then Q2. It has already come down.
Just last question was
interest on loan will come down by 50 basis points, but that impact will happen from Q3.
Okay, so 50 basis points would be, I mean, 2.5 crores kind of a reduction, 2.5 crores per quarter.
50 basis points on the loan amount for 75 million, we are repaying that. Now the whatever was outstanding on the interest cost will come down. It will not have a 50 basis point impact on profitability. I'm talking about interest rate. SOFR plus margin, that SOFR is coming down by 50 basis points.
Understood. And just my last question was on the quarterly variation. I mean, I understand that we are a small company, NGC, the international business. But however, the quarterly variation for us across verticals and across segments, like TMT or retail for that matter, is quite stark when you compare that to others. I mean, BFSI 15% growth last quarter, this quarter 40% growth. So why there is such a stark variation which is there for us to say small business?
So let me take that, Mihir. I think it's really a function of the deals that we're pursuing. See, on a small base, we close two mid or large deals. We see a very strong percentage jump. And that's what is really happening. And I think that's part of the strategy we're building out because we want to build scale in these. But if you look at a slightly longer duration, Mihir, which is what I shared earlier, our healthcare and banking business together were about 13% of our business 10 quarters back. They're about 32% of our business now. So over the last 10 quarters, as Sonata has grown, these businesses have grown faster than the rest of the Sonata, which just gives you the sense of how this business is looking like for us. That's why we're excited. And it was part of the strategy to diversify the business, because retail manufacturing was about 30-35% of the business, and that's pretty much flatlined for last 4 months, 4 quarters. This is actually helping us offset that. But on a secular basis, we think this business will continue to grow faster than the rest of Sonata.
Sure, sure. And just one last follow-up. I mean, you mentioned second half to be better than first half. Given the reasons which are there, should we expect second half to be substantially better than first half?
Well, it's a relative word, substantial, but we do expect second half to be better than first half. Look, let's not forget that we still have some headwinds in the business because of retail manufacturing, but I think it will be better than the first half. How better, we'll report back when we come to the next quarter.
Sure, yeah, that's it for my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Dheeraj Dave from Samvad Financial Services LLC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I clear? Can you join?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, one question. Basically, I am a retail investor for almost like 8 years with Sonata Software. And this is the first time when company is doing everything good, at least cash flow-wise, acquisition-wise. We have paid something which is incentive to what the companies which we acquired. We have paid to employees. But we find there is no dividend declaration. Is there any change in policy?
Yeah, the change in policy as such, but the board has decided to evaluate the dividend payment in the coming quarter. The reason is because of our loan repayment and many other reasons are there, but the board is going to evaluate in the coming quarters.
Isn't it sound something which is kind of, when we were looking at acquisition funded by debt and we are paying incentive and we are paying increment when acquisition rate is 13% to employees, which is fine. We are manpower company, we should pay, no denial to that part. We have liquidity and we are paying dividend. In fact, from the turnaround time, we have started paying 2 quarterly dividend. Today we are in great shape and obviously deliberating. So are you looking at acquisition or something that you are going to hold back the cash reserve? Otherwise, it's not making sense.
No, this is
the... Why change the policy? In fact, there was no communication. If you check discussion sometime back, whatever, last 5-6 quarterly discussion, I categorically asked there is any change in dividend payout policy. And it was said, no, it won't increase because we have done acquisition, but it will be maintained. And basically, see, what happens is this gives discomfort to the investor community because we are used to certain kind of pattern with the company. And if we are changing that and without any communication, it's not fair, right?
No. Sir, this is not a change in the policy and the capital...
Yeah, there is no change. But the point is that you are doing backdated. See, you are paying every 6 months and that was kind of... You are CFO. Since how long Sonata has been paying 6 months dividend? It's almost 5-6 years.
Everything is subjected to evaluation by the board, sir.
We know that.
Condition and our strategic priorities, the decisions are taken, sir, at the board level. This is not a decision by the management.
We are on the feedback. The investor have concern. And at least it should be communicated to the investor that henceforth you will be getting one dividend or whatever not. Because IT companies generally have tendency, good companies have tendency, so that's fine. Your board have certain consideration. Second part is I fail to understand that we did acquisition, we are paying incentive to acquisition company, we have IT refund which is giving us a 10 crore of extra dollar income in the other income in the kind of thing which was not there in last quarter. And despite that we find IT revenue, all this revenue growth and all that is coming, why there is no cash flow or cash growth? In fact, you see the condition of company, we have 700 crore cash and marketable equivalent, which is reduced to 500 crore. So why that is happening? See, the growth is fine to talk about all these big numbers. Why you are not saying that we will be paying X amount of dividend or we will have a free cash flow target? Why to look at growth? If growth is not as remunerative, in fact, if you look at the 10 quarters result, the dividend has been paid, it's been remained same for last 10 quarters. If it was 7.5 rupees or something, it has remained that only. So all this growth, while it makes sense for all the stakeholders, as a financial investor, it doesn't make sense for me. It is fine. We have to look at long-term growth. I appreciate all that. But at the same time, you need to balance all stakeholders. I mean, growth and cash flow distribution of free cash flow need to talk into consideration. You can't have an isolation, okay, we'll grow 1.5 billion. What's the point? Your margins are coming under pressure. If you look at IT service business or enterprise market, even that is the reason given by Samir, that you have got 30% retail and manufacturing, which has a headwind, but you got BFSI, which has increased by 6%, and healthcare also increased by that. So basically what it means is that we have taken a lower margin business. Or we have some one-time cost in building up for this deal. So if that is the case, please explain now, what is the kind of one-time cost about the new deals, which will help us over a period of time? Because that will help us elaborating, because for last 4 quarters, we have been constantly getting that things will improve, things will improve, things will improve, but we don't find any kind of results.
Yes, sir. We take your feedback. We have explained to you about the margin in the large deal, that 3 to 4 quarters impact will be there because we are doing an investment and we have also done a rebadging of people on site. That impacts our margin, and we also told about salary increase in this quarter because we are an employee-oriented company. We need to compensate our employees. So considering these two, we told about the impact on margin till Q4 of this year. Secondly, when the acquisition happens, we disclose what is the total acquisition price and what is the amount we have to pay, and based on what is the performance, we have also given a clear clarity last December when they exceeded the performance against the earn-out condition. We have given all the details of that. We have given breakup of all these payouts in our investor deck every quarter. We have taken your input, sir. Thanks for your input. We will definitely discuss, take it up discuss internally, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the demand environment. You mentioned that we have won some large deals, three large deals in the quarter, and the large deal pipeline continues to remain strong. But especially, we have also maintained our long-term FY27 target of 1.5 billion. 500 million for the IT services business. But that assumes a significant acceleration in our revenue growth from what we have been doing in the last 2-3 quarters. So if you can explain how the large deals will help us in achieving that, and also your comments on post the US elections is now behind, how the demand environment is shaping up, especially after the elections, and in terms of the ask rate for achieving the 1.5 billion, is it is it totally organic, or is there some inorganic component also into it?
Yeah, let me take that. I think there are multiple parts to your question. So let's just talk about the macroeconomics. So I think, like we said earlier, the industry that we service, four industries we service, it is a duality in those two regions. So, for example, healthcare and banking are doing well for us. Retail and manufacturing is not doing that well for us because of the current consumer spend-related discretionary spend slowdown that has had. And high-tech, while the large client has done well for us, but the other part of the high-tech has not done that well for us. So that's really two parts of the equation that we are balancing out right now. As far as the large deals, how they're helping us, really, like I said earlier, it's helping us offset some of the reductions that we're seeing in retail manufacturing side. These deals are helping us compensate and still deliver, 2% plus type of growth that we just announced in this most recent quarter. That's the second part of the question. What's the third part of the question? Can you just go? I think I missed one part of the question.
No. In terms of after the U.S. elections, do you see some changes that would help us?
Look, it's very, very, very recent right now, but if you look at all the industry analyst forecasts, they're all talking about U.S. inflation will still be high, go forward as well. Very early to say whether it will happen or not, but the pre-election results still yesterday, the messaging was that industry inflation will be high. So all consumer-facing industries, retail and manufacturing included, we don't think will be any uptick for at least 2-3 quarters. But our diversification strategy to help grow in banking and healthcare is really what is offsetting that slowdown.
Okay. And on the margins, on the margins part, obviously, you know, we had the impact of wage hike, but there was also the impact of rebadging from you know, the last deal that we won last quarter. So, like, if you can quantify the impact of what was the rebadging, and has the rebadging has been completed, or is it still like work in progress?
No, sir. Rebadging is fully baked in into our current quarter. So all rebadging is fully behind us. It's fully baked into the quarter numbers now.
Okay. And the margin aspirations, so obviously what we have is of like low 20s, and we are currently at 18.5%. So the margin expansion like mostly will happen you know, with these large deals you know, coming, or is there some like more headwinds that are still you know, there in terms of margins? And also, if you can also explain the quant seasonality, because the quant is having you know, like better margins, and in terms of seasonality, quarter three is you know, the strongest quarter for quant. So how you know, to see the margins and the growth along you know, with in like in like context of quant?
Yeah, so let's talk about the seasonality of quant, and I'll come to the margins right after that. So the quant is the current quarter, the Q3 quarter is one of the stronger quarters, and the Q4 is the weakest quarter of the year. So it's a tale of two cities. So Q3 will be very strong for them, and Q4 will be muted for them. So that's how we see the business, which is what we have shared with you earlier also, and now we're reinforcing that point. So we're not worried about the current quarter, but we do expect Q4 will be soft, but they will come back in on track in Q1 again, which is our April-June quarter. That's how the revenue cycles work. And the reason that the way it works that way, because they work largely in the banking space, and the new year contracts generally take effect from January, and they don't get signed till end of January, and then the ramp up for the new deals takes time. So really the full quarter impact comes in April timeframe. That's how the quant business cycle works. I hope that answers the one part of the question. Second part of the question, from about 18.5 or so of our EBITDA to getting to 20%, I think there are two levers at play, and we talked about it earlier also. So we expect close to about 0.5% to slightly more come back as we get over the large deal hump that we have invested in for the next two quarters. I think Jagan talked about it earlier. At the end of Q4, we expect those large deal related investments to come out of the business, and we'll be back on track nearly about 60-70 pips coming back from the large deal impact. And the second, the wage hike we have done has a cumulative effect of about a 1%, 1.1%, somewhere in the zone, and that takes us typically about two quarters to recover that. So by end of quarter four, early part of quarter one, we should be able to get to our aspirational number that we have always talked to you guys about.
Okay. Now, so no, like just to understand, obviously when we acquired Quant, it was you know, very high margin business. And you know, after we have seen very strong growth coming from Quant, and most of the deals that we are winning is Quant-led. So you know, like despite that, the margins have come off like significantly from say 22% to 18%. So is it fair to assume that the you know, the core margins, which was ex-Quant, has you know, has actually come down like quite substantially?
So let me just qualify some of the statements you made. So while Quant has been a significant growth driver, the deals that we announced even today, they are not all of them are Quant. In fact, a vast majority of them are not Quant related. So the retail deal we just talked about, the fabric deal we just talked about, the high tech deal we talked about, they're all in the organic business. Just to clarify that point first. Having said that, in the base business, the organic Sonata business, largely the wins are happening in the healthcare life sciences and the high-tech space. We have not seen any big wins in the retail space after the mega deal we announced maybe a year and a half back. So that's on that point. On the margin side, if you go back, we had an EBITDA of about 22%. We diluted the EBITDA by about 2-3%, and we had shared with you guys, because we want to invest in the newer capabilities. And what are these newer capabilities? We invested in fabric, we invested in AI, we invested in leadership in sales across the geographies. We invested in newer areas within Microsoft Stack, vis-a-vis Power Platform, and within Dynamics also in the CE side. So we made some strategic bets to invest in these areas, because the F&O space was working well for us, but we wanted to open up new doors from a growth investment perspective. So part of the 22% to dilution of 20% was a very planned dilution. The other 2% that we diluted was because of the large deals, which we expect fully to recover by Q4 and Q1 timeframe.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to 2 per participant. If you have follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue. The next question comes from Suraj Palu from Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, I just want to clarify one thing. Like, since there's a seasonality from quant side, so the ideal way to look at the business is YOY, right? Because if I look at the revenue from top 10 clients, it has grown 29% QQ, but YOY it is 8%. So just want to confirm the right way to look at it.
Yeah, no, I think your point is absolutely right, Suraj. The way to look at the business is YOY on basis, not only quant, even for Sonata also. But I think on the top 10 clients, Suraj, keep in mind that the top 10 clients that we had last year are not the same this year. We have had new additions in that mix. So we have added new customers in that mix, and some of the older clients of Sonata are no longer in the top 10 because they have fallen off the run rate basis. If you recall, sometime back I just shared with you that about 8 customers are more than 10 million in Sonata now on a run rate basis. So our mix of top 10 is changing. So the Y on Y is not a like-to-like comparison to what you are seeing Y on Y. This is not an apple-to-apple comparison because the base clients are different now.
Got it. And one thing, just wanted to understand on the sharp increase in employee expense. Like, because for the past 2 quarters, it looked like it has jumped like 10-11% QOQ. So I just want to understand the split, like how much is due to wage hike and like what is the reason for such high jump.
So I have explained to you the wage hike has impacted about 1.1% of the EBITDA level for us this quarter.
Got it. And like, if you can explain like why is that in the absolute terms the increase in employee expense?
No, the absolute number is difficult to share details on this. This is confidential numbers now, Suraj. But what happened is it had a 1.1% EBITDA level for us. Normally, the total increase with with junior management, mid-management and senior management will be 1.6 to 1.75% every year. This year, we have done only junior management now, hence it is 1.1% of the EBITDA.
And the balance impact will be in the next quarter, as you had mentioned.
Yeah, balance impact will be in the next quarter, exactly.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from Chirag Kacharya from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. Hope I am audible to you. In second half, you mentioned you are expecting it to be better than H1. So which vertical you think to drive better performance in comparison to H1? And second, what furlough impact you are expecting in third quarter?
Yeah, I'll take the first part. Jagan will take the second part. On the vertical side, we are expecting continue to expect our healthcare business will grow. We are expecting the banking business to grow. So those are the two businesses from a vertical perspective. We think the growth will come from. In addition, from a geography perspective, we think the US geography will grow probably faster than the other geographies as well. So that's the two ways to think about from a growth perspective. As far as the furloughs are concerned,
The furlough will have a very, very minimal impact for us. We do have an impact, but it's not going to be a very substantial impact for us because most of our customers, except for 1 or 2 customers in the banking space, it is not expected to have much bigger impact on the other customers for us.
And from capability perspective, as you mentioned, we are investing and getting some margin points from the 2-4 quarter perspective. So in H2, the margin pressure will on lower side or will be one should consider margin rate similar to what we have witnessed in H1?
I didn't get your question. Can you repeat that question?
What I'm asking here, in H2, the margin band will remain in the same range like H1, or it's slightly better than H1?
Q3 will have an impact of salary increase also. We'll have some impact on the Q3, but definitely operational improvements will also come in there. We will have an improvement in the second half as a whole compared to H1. But to reach back to the early 20 levels, what we were mentioning, we may take it may happen only by Q1 of next year.
At consolidated level, what basis point margin impact you expecting due to wage hike in the third quarter?
This quarter, it was 1.1%. Normally, the total impact in a year will be about 1.6%-1.75% on the total increase on a normal year when the increments are given. This balance impact will come in the Q3. We are yet to finalize the total number, but that means that around that number can happen.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
For mid managers and senior managers, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from Harsh Chaurasia from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So, sir, I have two, three questions. So basically, first is, when I see your retail segment vertical, it has been degrowing from last couple of quarters. I know there is a business condition, but when you speak about your deal pipeline, so can you give us some idea about, like, what percentage of the deal pipeline is contributed by retail and manufacturing? So what I'm implying is, so when the overall business condition improves, the run rate in the Q-on-Q growth will be much faster than our peers. This is my first question. And my second question is basically from a margin perspective. So this is a clarification. So when I see on a YOY basis, your cloud and IMS revenue has been the major contributor in the international business. So are we doing a lot of pass-through revenue type of deals which is impacting our margins? And third is basically when you say the 22%-20% margin dilution was planned, so can you give the breakup of 200 basis points which you have invested in business? So, like, what have we done investment on the large deal side and on the geographical expansion side from that perspective?
Sure, multiple parts to the question. So on the retail large deals, they are pretty much in line with other verticals, Harsh. However, the difference in retail and other verticals is that we are seeing closures in other verticals. We are not seeing the closures come through in the retail vertical and manufacturing vertical. The clients are delaying the decisions, the cycles are longer. Our ability to close is limited, not because of our capabilities, but just because of where the business cycles are with customer. They're delaying every quarter, the next quarter, the discretionary spend side of the equation. So from a pipeline perspective, do we have the same pipeline as other verticals? The answer is yes, from a large deal point of view. But are we seeing closure? The answer is no. Okay, that's the first part of the question. The second part of the question, where we have grown in the cloud, I think it's largely on the data on cloud. These are not pass-through deals. These are all data-enabled deals through the cloud platform, which are hybrid deals, which has some component of cloud and some component of data inside it. But these are not pass-through deals by any measure. So they are not the impact from a dilution perspective. The only dilution we have in the business from a gross margin perspective is because of the large deal we've already shared with you guys. That will continue for two, three quarters, and then it'll get normalized again. And the third point of your question about from 22%-20%, that investment was baked in, if you recall, even 2 years back we shared with you. It's largely in the capability side of the company because we're trying to create new capabilities of GenAI, Fabric, newer sales team members in some of the geographies that we invested in, especially in Europe, especially in the banking and healthcare vertical, especially in the newer areas that we outlined to you as part of our strategy. So that's where the investments of 2% has gone in, from 22%-20%, which is our target end state we want to get to from a margin point of view.
Got it, sir. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Prolin Bharat Nandu from Edelweiss Public Alts. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, team. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Couple of questions, and let me start with where the previous question ended on this 200 basis points investment that we had done 2 years back. Now, if I see, we have already been won a mid-size or, you know, not a large deal, but a decent-sized deal in a data fabric as well. And AI is something that we have been investing in. We have been winning deals in BFSI domain as well. So when do you think that this 200 bits of investment we will recover? I mean, would it be 26 or when do you think this, you know, we can plow back some of the margin, some of the investment that we have made?
Yeah. This is Jagan here. So this investment will continue for 2 to 3 years, another at least 3 years time. The reason is because we have to bring in a scale for continuing the growth that can come in for the business. Secondly, there is a big technology changes and big opportunities are unfolding in front of us. Unless we invest and bring the scale to this, we may not be able to capture the opportunity for growth that is in front, that is in the market, that can emerge in the market in the coming future. So we have to continue to invest this 2% and take at least for 3 years, we may not be able to recover this.
Sure. Jagan, you mentioned on this technology change, right? So what we have typically seen is that, you know, whenever technology changes happen, it happened at DevOps, you know, at that time. Whenever the implementation happened or whenever the benefits of that technology change percolated down to IT services company, it became more of a commodity, right? Everybody started doing it. And right now also the same thing is happening. Everybody is talking about AI, right, in some sense. And investment there and deal wins also happening. So do you think that this AI, and we talk about Harmony, we talk about our very, esteemed partnership with Microsoft, do you think that that will give us an advantage and going forward when it comes to the GenAI service part of the GenAI thing, would it accrue to only a few players or all the service players will benefit, and there how do we differentiate ourselves versus the rest of the pack?
So let me take that. I think, look, for every time there's a technology change that has happened in the market, there are 2-3 companies which gain disproportionate. If you go back 15 years back, you know, you can see when the digital came, few companies came from behind and took the marketplace. Of course, everybody got a part of it, but some companies benefited more from this than the others. And what we are trying to do in the modernization space is exactly that. We are trying to capitalize that investment. It largely will depend upon how well we execute as a team and a company. From the excitement perspective and the opportunity perspective, it is in fact absolutely there. But we have to execute well. We have made the investment. We are executing to our strategy. And some of these journeys are not very linear. So some quarters will be better than the others, some years will be better than the others, some years will be worse than the others. We are building a long-term business, and we believe what our teams are doing is really the right thing to do for building a long-term viable business out. And as you know, Sonata has missed many, many waves of growth, and we really want to make sure that the AI wave that is in front of us, we capitalize on that as we move forward.
Sure. Thank you. Just one last point. So just to conclude, right, I mean, our top quartile growth is something that we want to come back to in a second half of FY25, and the margins that we were, let's say, before the start of this year, 20-odd% is something that we aspire to reach in Q1 FY26. Is that a fair conclusion on growth and margin?
Let me just qualify a little bit. I think we will have a better second half than the first half. We may not end up in the top quartile just in the second half. It might be H1 of next fiscal year, but time will tell how we deliver to that, but that's how our current calibration. But second half will be better than first half for sure from a growth perspective. As far as the margin is concerned, Jagan said by end of Q4 or Q1 time frame, we do expect to be 20% EBITDA company.
Great. Thanks a lot, Sameer, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you for all of you for joining us today and listening to the prepared comments from the management team and for your questions. We just thank you for your continuous support and cooperation with Team Sonata, and we take this opportunity to thank all the Sonatians globally for their untiring efforts to scale the company. Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Sonata Software Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.